Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Booth, the Angel Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live today from the Smut Studio in Venice Beach, California. I got another good one for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We got another good pod. Joe Prano, my co-host, is still on the road. He's killing the East Coast game with his shows. Go see him. Go see Prano live. He is headlining the Stress Factory in Bridgeport, Connecticut, Thursday, that is tonight, June 27th, with Crystal Marie, former guest, featuring. So go see Prano live, and if you can't see him on Thursday night as a headliner, he will be featuring for the legendary Gilbert Gottfried all week at the Stress Factory in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And then he's back. We need him. I need my guy back. I need my goose. Although I don't want him to be Goose, because Goose dies in Top Gun. Although Joe did say to me on the phone today, just to let everybody know, if Carmelo Anthony joins the New York Knicks again, Joe says he will actually kill himself and he will maybe jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. Those were his words. He will kill himself if Carmelo Anthony joins the New York Knicks again. So we'll be happy to have Joe back on Monday's episode. But we got a great one in store today. Today's guest is Freezing Cold Takes founder, creator, Fred Siegel. We've all seen this account on Twitter, right? And probably on Instagram. Freezing Cold Takes, and it's at Old Takes at Old Takes Exposed on Twitter. It's an amazing account. It blows up. Everybody's all over it when you say something stupid and you're proven wrong. So the creator and founder, Fred Siegel, who also has a bunch of other massive social media feeds, is going to be my guest on today's episode. We had a great long interview. We talked about how he went from being a lawyer, a full-time lawyer, to running this and putting people on blast and exposing the awful takes that they have. And I've been a part of it, so I'm lucky that I myself was put on Freezing Cold Takes during the NCAA championship. Anyway, we're going to get to that interview in a second, but before we do that, I just want to offer my thoughts and prayers for Barry McConaughey. Barry was the guest on last episode. He gave an amazing hour interview. He brought the thunder like he always does. He brought the facts like he always does. And then Twitter suspended him yesterday. They didn't just suspend his main account, Sports Talk Barry. They suspended his backup and his Class Act podcast account. They suspended all three. They went for the trifecta of suspension. Now, I'm going to blame myself. This is where the Ruther curse is not fun to deal with. I said, Barry, you have not been suspended since I told you to put parody in your Twitter account. And he said, I'm going to knock on wood. And look what happened. He's been suspended. Not only did they suspend all three accounts, he got a new account and they suspended that again, like 6 to 7 hours later. Twitter's out of control, just suspended my boy Barry. Let Barry tweet. I know we're all fans. You should be. If you're not a fan, you're probably just a Tom Brady slurper. He's funny. He's factual. I'm actually going to play it. Let me play the clip from last episode where I tell Barry that he hasn't been suspended since I told him what to put in his bio. So I'm going to take the blame for this. I really am. I'm going to take the blame that the Ruther curse reared its ugly, gross, disgusting head on my boy Barry. So here's the clip of what I said last episode to Barry about his Twitter account. I don't want to jinx it, but do you remember what I told you? Your account kept getting suspended. You remember what I told you to put in your bio?
Parody.
I told you to put parody in your bio, and I believe you have not been suspended since you put parody in your bio, correct?
That is correct, but I'm knocking on wood. I just knocked on wood because you never know with Twitter.
You're right though. You are.
They're like, you know, they're like the Nazis. They just come in and just swoop you without any warning, and you have no explanation. So I'm just hoping that I can last as long as possible, because this is, you know, it's great. I love being on Twitter. I love interacting with fans. And
wow, that is tough to hear. That's a tough scene right there. It's a tough scene. We need him back. We need him back on social media. We need him on Twitter. He is a man of the people. And if you know, I'm gonna give you where to find Barry until then, guys. If you're wondering where to find him, go follow him on Instagram, Official Barry McCockiner. That's at Official Barry McCockiner. Follow him on Instagram. I told him, keep doing your podcast, man. I was texting him last night. We were texting each other a lot. I said, you got to keep at this. Don't let the haters bring you down. Keep doing your podcast. Keep doing your Instagram, Official Barry McCockiner on Instagram, and bounce back, man. Tom Brady survived a shredded knee. You can survive Twitter goons who just keep suspending you. You can do it. So anyway, I just wanted to wrap that up. And the best part is I just informed Barry a few minutes ago on text that Adam Schefter mentioned his name. Can't make this up. Adam Schefter discussed him on the Mina Kimes podcast. I don't really follow ESPN, and I think a lot of their personalities are lame. I've stated that enough. But someone tweeted at our Twitter feed, at The Dirty Sports, and tipped us that Barry had been mentioned on the last 3 minutes of Mina Kimes, that's K-I-M-E-S, her podcast. Her guest was Adam Schefter. And hearing Adam Schefter say Barry McCockiner about 4 or 5 times is the funniest shit ever. So definitely listen to the end of that. It's like the last 3 minutes, and it's really funny. So there is a glimmer of hope for Barry that he was mentioned on that podcast by Adam Schefter. It's pretty amazing. So maybe he can build upon that. Anyway, had to get that out of the way. I'm excited for today's interview. Like I said, Freezing Cold Takes, Old Takes Exposed founder Fred Siegel is going to be my guest. But before we do that, guys, before we get to this interview, just want to remind you guys to get your Harry's Razors. I love my Harry's Razors. They keep me looking fresh. I'm a hairy dude. I got a 5 o'clock shadow a lot. My co-host Joe Prano, he's Italian. He's also a very hairy dude. You know what keeps us looking fresh and smooth all the time? Is our friends at Harry's Razors. I love the shave gel too. I love the body wash. They literally have it all. Guys, Harry's has this great, simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at an extremely fair price. I'm going to go beyond what it says here. Fair, I think it's an amazing price. And then you got this trial set that you can get at harrys.com/dirty, which is the perfect way to get you started on Harry's. It's a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, a weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover, and guess what? Listeners of this show, Dirty Sports Podcast, can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/dirty. So make sure you go to harrys.com/dirty to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. And as usual, if you use Harry's and send a screenshot, I'll send you 2 free beer koozies in the mail. Got 500 new koozies this week. So go ahead and do that. Okay, guys, let's get to my interview with Freezing Cold Takes, Old Takes Exposed, founder and creator Fred Siegel. Fred Siegel, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. Glad to have you on.
Thanks. I'm glad to make my Dirty Sports debut.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. Your Twitter feed, Old Takes Exposed, is not only one of my favorites, but I have to boast off the start here. You had me on there in April. I was exposed over my NCAA championship game bad take. You probably didn't even realize this, did you?
I forgot what it was, but I'm sure that somebody sent it to me. And wait, so the national championship game was, oh yeah, Virginia.
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. What did you say? You said something during the game?
Yeah, so I tweet this. First half of the game. Remember, it was so low scoring and nobody could make a shot. I tweeted this to start the game, or like, I don't know, first half. For all you assholes who want a Duke and their exciting three first round NBA picks to lose, I hope you're happy. We have the most boring title game in NCAA history.
Oh, yeah. It turned out to be a great game.
It really
that
did.
That always happens. And if you judge a game, especially college basketball, in the first so-and-so minutes, then it's likely to flip on you.
And you know what's crazy? I remember that night because afterwards I went out. I had a date, humble brag, and I went out, and it was one of those things where you don't want to look at your phone because it's rude, but I also knew the minute something gets put up on Old Takes Exposed, RIP mentions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it blows up.
Like, it was just on fire, and I kept trying to not look at my phone, but then I'd be like, I gotta use the bathroom. And she probably thought I had some sort of problem because I kept using the bathroom just to see what everybody was saying about me. But there's also a thing with your account where, oh, I've made it. I'm on Old Taste Exposed. Right? Yeah.
I think, well, a lot of people say that. I think there are certain people who try hard to put themselves, they try to put me on and tag their own take, roast me.
So do you think now that, like, and we'll get into everything about how this all starts, because I think this is great. And do you think there's now that element that your feed has become so popular and it's become such a thing? And I hear it just in regular conversation with people. Like, let's say I'm hanging around some guys talking sports, and, you know, let's say, oh, it's going to be on, you know, Old Taste Exposed. Do you think that's now become a thing that people like getting put on blast?
I think there's something to that. I think so. I think there's certain people who probably it happens too much, and they are not too happy about it. But I think that there's a certain aspect of that about it. I think people like to, they'll retweet it, but there's some people really take themselves too seriously. There's people in the media who take themselves way too seriously. And those people just try hard not to, to bring attention to the fact that they're on it.
Who, like, give me an example. Who would be somebody in mainstream media who you'd say does not want to be on your page?
Let me think about it. I've had some people who get really upset about it. You know, it's hard to tell.
Because I would argue that the freezing cold takes has become such a thing now. I would argue that guys like a Skip Bayless enjoy it, benefit from it. Almost, you know, I've always said somebody like a Skip Bayless, he's 100% a character. I like if I sat down with him, I don't think he believes in anything he says. I think we're just so dumb as a society that people are like, oh my God, did you see what he tweeted? Did you see what he said? I would argue someone like him wants to get on your page because he knows you have a reach.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if even Skip Bayless never, Skip Bayless never replies to anything.
Sure.
On social media. He does not interact with anybody. All he does is he posts the tweet.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if he's even aware of the account. And I think that – but I think most people in media are. But, yes, I think you're right about him. He pushes the envelope. Whatever is going to be something that is going to cause a stir.
He's just a
he picks sides.
He's a contrarian. He's 100% a contrarian.
Well, he'll just pick a side. And he chooses that side from the very beginning. Like, it's like the debate. And that's his side forever. If you look at it, so he now hates Kawhi Leonard. That's his side. So he's going to argue for anything Kawhi Leonard does, any little thing he's going to make a big deal about in some way, and it's always going to be negative on Kawhi. Same with LeBron. He's decided at the beginning he's going to hate LeBron. when there's certain sides that kind of fizzled out.
Yeah.
He loved Tim Tebow.
Sure.
He's obsessed with Tim Tebow. That was one of his things. He hates, I think he, who do he hate? He hates Tom Brady but loves Peyton Manning, or is it the opposite?
I'm not sure. I'll be honest. I don't watch any of that stuff. I don't follow him.
Well, when he first started, he was an RG3 guy when they first started, and hates Luck. And the RG3 thing has kind of subsided, but he hates Luck, Andrew Luck. He will. So, I mean, it just keeps going and going and going forever.
Yeah.
And then, so that's what he does. And when Mayweather, he hates Mayweather, loves Pacquiao. And I think that
I feel like he's on a losing side of every single thing that you're saying right now.
Whatever he does, whatever side it is, he picks it, and then he'll nitpick anything that person does. And if he that person ends up doing something good, like Kawhi Leonard won the title, he will find a way to manipulate it to say he got lucky.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he does with Jordan. I mean, not Jordan, MJ. And then what he does also is he'll try to reverse jinx it. So he'll always pick LeBron to win and say why he should win. So if he doesn't win, he'll be able to go back and say, "Well, he should have won. I told you this before. I don't know if he didn't."
I know.
So every game he picks LeBron to win. I think it's a character, and I think that he doesn't care at all.
Sure.
That he's going to be posted, but there's other people, like guys like Cowherd.
Colin Cowherd, okay.
He likes, he doesn't care. I mean, he knows that he has to be provocative. But I don't think that he likes the attention of being wrong.
Sure. I think you're right. I agree with that.
But he knows it's not going to deter him.
Yeah.
He's not going to qualify anything. And it's not going to deter him from making these. But he doesn't necessarily like the attention of being wrong. And so I've seen him react negatively towards stuff. Has been posted before. So guys like that, but the guys who aren't deterred by it are the ones who are going to end up being the most successful.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, how do you get into this? Now, you just had a great piece written about you on USA Today for the win, and it's kind of a fascinating story. You're a full-time lawyer.
I was.
That's what I'm saying. You were. And then here you are now running a bunch of social media accounts led by, you know, old takes exposed. Like, how do you get into this world?
It was just by accident. I mean, I was just a regular guy on Twitter. I was an attorney. I worked 10 hours a day. And I had a good memory about what journalists would say. Because I followed Twitter for my sports news, just like everyone else. And when someone would, a journalist or a media person would say, just like I predicted last year, this happened. Yeah, and you think to yourself, well, this guy said this and he was wrong. So what happened was I just started the account and it got big pretty quick. So I would just do it as a hobby when I was an attorney. But I kind of liked the idea of sitting around trying to make content all day and making money for it. So after a couple of years, it took a while, but I kind of just decided this is the time to try to do it full time and leave my life as a lawyer behind.
What type of attorney were you?
I was a transactional attorney for healthcare transactions, like hospitals, deals with hospitals, doctors, buyouts, just regular contracts, things like that.
I like the thought of while you're still working and building this up, like some days you mix the two worlds of
all the time. Like, you know, you stop what you're doing, like you take a break and you can look at the feed. Someone sends you something, chat, you can retweet it so you can keep it up. So it wasn't that difficult, but after a while, it did kind of get in the way a little bit.
Do you ever remind? I know you're a married man, a family man. Do you ever remind your wife or kids? You're like, yeah, you said this. You said this on July 12th, 2012. I'm gonna expose you, and you know, and I almost feel like, you know, this is great that you're a former lawyer too, because you guys are so lawyers are so meticulous about everything. And
right. I feel
like this works perfectly for this transition from you to go lawyer to. You probably have a good memory too, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and we also really are good at finding stuff. So like search terms on the internet, search terms on case law, archives, the ones that we had to subscribe to get case law on the computer. You have these search terms, and it kind of works a lot of those same codes, and the way that they work, it works the same way with the Twitter search. So you kind of have that mind to search, and that's how I first started searching for things and finding them pretty quickly. You search through the dates that something happened, things like that.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. Well, I love what you're doing also, because I always had this thought for a TV show, and it's kind of along what you're saying. My show was always, the premise was, you're an anchor, you're a sports commentator, whatever it is, and you only have so many chances to make a prediction, and then you're fired. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how the show would work. Does that make sense? Because that was always my thing until you came along, was I would think the same thing. You know, you're watching ESPN, you're watching SportsCenter, you're listening to talk radio, and you hear all these predictions, and you say, look, dude, if you're getting 3 out of 4 wrong, then maybe you're just not an expert. Like, you know, I would always say, what kind of show or reality show could we create where these people need to be held accountable? And finally you come along and there it is, just laid out, the accountability of what you said, what didn't happen, and, you know, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Well, everybody would lose that show, so, because everybody gets a lot of stuff wrong. But yeah, well, people, you know why people do it. They say things that are going to be more interesting, as opposed to, well, it's going to be a close game. It could go either way, but, you know, Patriots by a point.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if the other team won. No one's going to care about that.
Yeah.
So it's like, this player, I think he may have a great career. It depends on certain factors. If he does this, 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 and this. Things are looking positive for him. Now he has to work hard. Nobody likes that.
Sure. They want, you're right. And we live in such a, especially now more than ever in 2019, we live in such a sensationalized news media. I mean, that's how, not to jump into it, but like, that's how Donald Trump became president. Like, he's like, I'll say some crazy shit, fire up one side, let the other side get angry. And here we are, which is, kind of.
Well, I think there's so many things to that dynamic.
Sure.
As to why that happened. Yeah. But I don't think it would have happened without the type of world we live in now,
yeah,
where everything is so quick to agitate.
Exactly.
And things are agitate so quickly and then kind of move on to the next thing. So it's kind of, yeah, I think there's so many things that went into that, but yeah. I think that's why people kind of certain people would latch on to him.
Sure.
And they latch, just like they latch on to anybody on TV, the personalities that they like.
What are your mentions like? Like take me through your day, because I assume you get sent so many tweets, DMs, you name it. How do you just have to sift through all that? Is it just like some sort of or do you have some sort of process for that?
No, I just have to sift through them like one by one. But I get so many, and I'm pretty good at kind of just scrolling through. I miss some, but I scroll through for the most part, and I'm pretty good at catching them. I get a lot of the same ones.
Yeah.
The ones I've already used, but a lot of the same ones. And DMs the same. I used to kind of reply to everybody the DM. No, I don't like this because I can't do that anymore. It's just too many.
Yeah.
So I ignore it if I don't like it. But there's so many, and there's so many ones that people think are good because they don't really know, like, but they're not that good.
Yeah.
Or where there's one about a sport that
no one cares about.
No one cares about. People don't know as much on my feed. So if someone posts something and it says it's about two players, both play for the Calgary Flames. And it doesn't even say Flames. It just says this player is going to be great. And he wasn't that good. I don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
Like, and that person thinks that's like the greatest one. Like, I can't post it. I don't know. People are going to have to look it up. The more people who have to look it up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to post. So yeah, there's a lot of things. Yeah. I just have to scroll through.
I love the old, like when I go to your feed, I love like the long game ones. You know what I'm saying? Like the ones that like, oh, this didn't pan out from 12 years ago. Or
oh, the newspaper ones are great. I've searched those specifically myself in the newspaper archives. It's harder to find in newspapers because people have much more controlled takes.
Sure.
They don't just blurt things out. So you know, anyone who's writing a column about and going to rip somebody, they have to go all in and decide they're going to go all in from the very beginning and kind of just – and it was a big deal for them to do it. So it wasn't just like blurting something out on Twitter. And so there's not as many.
What would be the most – absurd, like, do you have maybe one or two, maybe even three takes that have just been so bad that you've exposed, or maybe just your favorite ones personally that made you laugh the most?
There's a great one from 2008, the NFL draft, and the Packers picked a quarterback, Brian Brohm.
Yeah,
he was
from Louisville, right?
For Louisville, his brother's the coach at Purdue now.
Yeah,
I think he coaches with his brother at Purdue now.
Yeah,
and he was pretty good at Louisville. He was a big prospect after his junior year, going into his senior year. If he would have went out after his junior year, probably would have been drafted higher. But his senior year didn't turn out as well. But he was still a good prospect. He was picked in the second or third round by the Packers. Now the Packers. Brett Favre had just left the Packers. He, quote, retired. And he ended up going to the Jets later on. But Aaron Rodgers had not really been the starter at all. And Rodgers had sat for 2 years. And they picked him, and it was the second round. So they went to the studio on ESPN. And it was Reese Davis and Todd McShay, Merrill Hodge. And Davis talked about Brian Brohm, and Todd Merrill Hodge said, I like him better than Aaron Rodgers. And Todd McShay said, I think he's got more upside than Aaron Rodgers. And it's all I post the clip all the time.
That's amazing. And
McShay must hate it. He's never responded to it. But I must imagine that he's seen it go around.
That's a great
one.
Probably
doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all.
Brohm. And what's great about that one is it's not like crazy long ago. Like you're saying, it's 2008, them saying Brohm is going to be better than Rodgers. What I also like, you just brought up a great point about Mel Kiper Jr. What I like about the account too is obviously it holds accountability, but it also shows an interesting like psychological element of people, which – as humans, people, like, we refuse to just admit when we're wrong. Just be like, yeah, I really, like you're saying, Mel Kiper Jr. is all worked up. He can't just be like, wow, did I miss the boat?
Oh, yeah. That one was McShay. But
okay,
yeah,
sorry, McShay. Sorry, McShay.
Yeah. But, yeah, but, I mean, he's had his fair share of bad ones, too, Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper, a lot of the time with these draft guys, you start to wonder when you look back. I mean, they get so into certain players, and you wonder why. A lot of times, that's why I don't trust big time analysts.
Sure.
They're friends with everybody.
Yeah.
And they could be friends with a player's agent. They could be friends with these certain people who give them more access. And not an unspoken in return. It's like when I used to be a lawyer, we used to have these, and everybody does it. It wasn't just my law firm. This is like something you have to do. You used to hold fundraisers for judges, running for judges. Judges had to keep running after every certain amount of years in Florida. And our firm would have like a fundraiser. And then they talk about how great this judge is. You should vote for them. And they raise money. and people in the law firm would write a check. So when they got voted back in, the judge would remember that.
Sure.
And it wasn't discussed by anybody. But when it came down to it in court, you're on the fence there. There you go. I that's how I feel sometimes with these big time analysts.
Yeah.
The bigger you get, the more friends you make, and the more promises, the more stuff you get in return for them.
Yeah, it's
go out to dinners with them, things like that.
It's like a lobbyist with politics. It's kind of seems very similar.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's unspoken.
Yeah,
and then Mel Kiper was obsessed with Jimmy Clausen. Obsessed with him.
Jimmy Clausen.
He wouldn't shut up about him in 2010. And Clausen was a big prospect going into Notre Dame, and he was pretty good at Notre Dame. But it was kind of odd. And like, I think Mel Kiper was, you know, people would say that he was friends with the agent, Jimmy Clausen's agent. You never know. Like, it's like, what are the reasons for this?
Yeah.
And you'll never know. But that's why it's hard sometimes to really, really take big stock into some of these, what these big analysts are saying.
Well, I think it's a lot of luck. I've always said that, especially when it comes to the NFL and NBA draft. What do any of us really know? That's always what I say. You can study as much game film and you can critique and analyze as much as you want. But the analogy I kind of use is it's the same way with like the NCAA tournament, right? It, you know, the joke is, right, you can watch college basketball all you want, but it's that coworker or your wife who doesn't watch any of the sports, and then she wins the poll because she's just
guessing. Exactly. Especially in a tournament. The tournament always ends up being something that is unpredictable.
Right? And I feel, isn't it that, I feel like it's the same way with drafting players, because, you know, who knows? I mean, look back. I'm sure you've done some stuff on this. People forget there was a massive debate over Ryan Leaf versus Peyton Manning.
Yeah. I think that debate was, I've looked it up a lot. I've posted a few people who write the articles. I think it was and there was a few people who wrote the articles that they liked Leaf. But I think in terms of the debate, I think it's a little bit overstated. I think it was always Manning.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but I do. There were people who wrote articles, and I posted them before, that they would rather have Leaf. But I do think it's a little overstated. But people like to. It's like when you bring back something from the past, especially when you're trying to make a story, it's always better to make the story more interesting.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So that's like exactly what people do now. And I think that there's a lot of that in 30 for 30. Because a lot of times I look back and research things to try to find funny takes.
Yeah.
And when I read the articles, it doesn't match like the narrative that they try to make in like a 30 for 30. So it's like
– that's interesting.
They're trying to make it closer. They're trying to make it better. They're trying to bring out some sort of conflict.
They want the emotion. Better. Yeah.
Right, right. And people love to say they overcame something. So you want to get – the easiest thing to get someone to talk about is how they overcame something.
Yeah.
It's like – so they may not even have overcome that much. But the story will be, oh, man, I came up from nothing. Nobody wanted me. Nobody respected me.
Oh, well, ESPN has made a living. We've joked for years on our show. It's turned into just like – any sort of disability or somebody had cancer, like they want to highlight all that and just put a spotlight, which obviously can be used for good, but there's also arguments that we've said, like at times there's a time and place for these things, and with sports and with not sports. Like I'm a huge fan of Bill Burr, and he's talked about it and really made me laugh about it. Like the argument I always make is I don't want to be depressed during a sports event. Does that make sense? Like sports is my time to get away from a lot of the bad things that happen in life. But now those worlds are kind of intermixed, and like you're saying, you know, I'm talking about maybe something like an extension of this, but you're exactly right. And now that I think about it, when you bring up the 30 for 30, they really dramatize it.
They really make, they find a way to make it more interesting in that way. And it's easy. It's easy to do it because it's a long time ago, first of all, and it wasn't covered as much.
Yeah.
So like you don't, the only coverage you really see is old paper articles. And so it's a lot of times they'll say, oh, no, nobody picked us to win. A great one I see a lot, and as I remember this specifically, of ways of, I don't think there's been a 30 for 30 on it yet, but the Nebraska back in 1995 played UF in the championship game. And
is this Tommy UF Frazier, Nebraska, or is this
before?
Yeah,
Tommy Frazier, okay. Nebraska. Yeah. And the whole narrative everyone talks about now is that nobody gave Nebraska a chance. Nebraska loves that narrative. They were favored by like 5 points. And I go back and look at the articles, at least half the people say that Nebraska was going to win. And it's just a complete false narrative.
Yeah.
That nobody gave him a chance. And but that's what people want to do. They want
– Well,
it's the first instinct of everybody is to talk about how they overcame.
You're right. It's kind of like on our show we always joke that like – take for example – Patriots fans and Boston, they have continued to push this narrative that like Roger Goodell hates the Patriots, like it's us against them, where we've always argued it's actually the complete opposite. Like if you look into it and also see, Roger Goodell could not be more buddy buddy with Robert Kraft, and if you look at the punishments, like a lot of that stuff was, we always say it like it's a makeup call for Spygate, which would probably be the worst thing that they've done. Like it's all these things that were like, it's us against them. And it's like, did you really, like Brady got that 4-game suspension, which is probably, you know, bullshit, but it's this argument like, oh, Roger Goodell hates us so much. It's like, those guys seem to get along really well. It's kind of like the Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump thing. People are like, they hate each other. Like what? Google. You know,
yeah.
Trump went to Chelsea Clinton's wedding. Just look at pictures. They don't hate each other at all. It's all some false narrative that
You have to hate the person you're running against.
Exactly.
You have to be. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm down here in South Florida, and I grew up in Miami, and my University of Miami fans have that complex now. They're like, oh, nobody wants to see Miami succeed.
Oh, really?
Because of the past. Yeah. Even though like 2 years ago, Miami went like 8-0 and they beat Notre Dame, and they were like the sensation of the country.
Sure.
The turnover chain and all that. Everybody loved them in the media. It was complete opposite of what it was like back in the 90s. But they still hold that over there. They love to talk about that.
So who's your team? I'm curious. Now, I feel like that probably gets lost in the mix. Like who are your college and sports and pro teams that you root for?
Well, the University of Florida.
Okay.
That's how I grew up. My dad went to University of Florida. Then I went to University of Florida for undergrad. And I like all the South Florida teams. So you have Miami Heat, the Dolphins, the Marlins, and you know the Florida Panthers. I don't really pay attention to hockey. So.
I don't think anybody does.
Nobody does down here. Nobody.
What's up with your state, Fred? I got to put it on blast there for me because we've been critical on this show. I feel like the sports fans, and maybe not college, but pro, the professional sports fans, what is happening?
Front-running towns. So it's like in Florida, there's a certain faction of people always that have like this, the passion, but it doesn't bleed into it like, I would say, another town. It doesn't have that type of a vibe to it. Now, the closest thing that we had were the Dolphins. And especially when I used to go to the games and season tickets, and I used to go, people really, really embrace the Dolphins in this town.
Yeah.
But it's been 20 years, and it's the single one, it's one of the worst. It's completely understated in how bad this franchise is. It's one of the worst franchises I've ever seen. It doesn't get enough credit for being this bad.
You know what? You bring
people
up a great,
about the
that's
Jets.
A great point. That's a
people
great
talk
point.
About the Jets. Yeah. They talk about whatever, basketball teams and stuff, but like the Clippers and all that, the Dolphins are so bad. They are, it's just such a bad franchise. They do everything wrong. Anybody who comes into the franchise comes back, leaves a broken man. You can't find someone who comes in and is better. Feel bad for all these coaches. This new coach, Flores, is coming in. Like, just like Gase and all them. They all come in. Everyone, oh, yeah, it's great. And they leave like just a broken person.
When's the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game?
The answer to your question is, I think I went to it. The answer to the question is, I think 2000. We beat the Colts in overtime. Peyton Manning was the Colts quarterback. It was in Miami. Lamar Smith ran like a 30-yard touchdown to win. That's the last playoff game we won. I mean, the last playoff game we had, 2000 was the Dolphins. And then we didn't have a playoff game. Maybe we had a playoff game in 2001, possibly. I'm not sure.
Didn't you have one recently? Did you have one recently against the
Steelers?
Yeah,
we did. Against the Steelers. We had one in 2008.
That's the game where your backup, was it Matt Moore? Didn't Matt Moore die on the field that day?
Yeah, he was the starting quarterback for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
He got
hit, remember?
Yeah. 2000, we had – no, 2008, we won the division because Tom Brady tore his ACL first game of the year. And
that was the Brett Favre Jets, right?
Patriots, yeah, Brett Favre Jets. And we beat them the last game of the year to win the division. And then we got just boat raced by Baltimore at home in the playoffs. We couldn't score. May have kicked a field goal or something. And then – We backed into the playoffs 3 years ago, 2016, 2017, and we got destroyed by Pittsburgh.
Well, you bring up a great point. You really do, because they are one of those franchises. If the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since 2000, and we're just going over like these lame, you know, playoff attempts that they've had in the last 20 years, they don't get lumped into the Browns, the Lions, the Cincinnati Bengals. And basically, since Dan Marino retired, it's been a train wreck down in South Beach.
Train wreck. It's terrible. Terrible franchise. Pathetic franchise. Just awful.
What do you make of them this year? Who do you have? You have Fitzpatrick, and who's the other?
Oh yeah. Well, this year they're not trying to win. They really want to get a quarterback. So this year is going to be really bad. I mean, I think they fully expect to be one of the worst teams in the league. I think people are people will accept it. If it happens going in, we're going to be one of the worst teams in the league as long as we're trying to improve. Usually we go into the season as like, oh, this is going to be a great year for the Dolphins. It's going to be good. And then they may start off 3-1. Everyone goes, oh, Dolphins. And then they fizzle out. And it's the same shit. It happens every time.
You want to hear a great old takes exposed, like a one that's not very well received by our listeners because of this Dolphins fan. We had this kid call in, some college kid into our show. Jay Cutler's 1 year in Miami. This is before the year, and he said that the Dolphins would win 10 games. And yeah. He was willing to bet $1,000, and we agreed on the show because we make bets with our fans, and we said, look, dude, we'll front, and I said this, you know, as the guy, I was like, dude, I'll front $1,000 of the show's money, and he called back, and he said, yeah, I'll do it, and what did the Dolphins win that year with Jay Cutler? I believe they won 6 games, and our fans are so heated because this dude just
went. There's some good ones on that. There's some good call Tay.
He went MIA. So Mac, if you still listen to the show with interest, I believe that's probably up to about $1,500. If you ever want to pay us back, you know where to find us. But that was an amazing take that he thought that Adam Gase and Jay Cutler being paired up again together was going to just create so much buzz down in Florida for you guys to compete.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we won the first game in San Diego, and everyone was, oh, it's a different team with Jay Cutler at the helm.
Yeah.
They're ready to go. I don't know, it wasn't even San Diego. We won the first game, and we won the first game in, like, the new L.A. Chargers Stadium, and the kicker,
the soccer
like,
field,
coup, coup, missed like 10 field goals.
He shanked. Yeah. I remember that. I remember watching that. You're right. I remember watching that being out here. It's amazing. By the way, it's amazing. I don't know how I still haven't gone to a game. It's amazing to see these Chargers games in this 28,000 seat soccer stadium. Like it's just the dynamic out here in Los Angeles. It's you feel so, I genuinely feel sorry for Chargers players because the team moved and literally no one in Los Angeles cares. And you see this soccer stadium that seats not even 30,000 and, you know, 17 to 20,000 of those fans are from the opposing team. Like, it's got to be awkward as a player just knowing I don't have a home field. Like they don't have a home field. But I want to ask you something real quick. Have you ever thought about doing like a political Old Takes Exposed?
Sometimes I get tagged a lot for these political ones, but I just don't, first of all, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing it. I don't like talking about it. It's so, to me, it's so silly. A lot of the stuff people get so passionate about the littlest things.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do it unless you're going to slant it to one way.
Sure.
It's really impossible. I mean, I don't see how to be a media outlet that's going to be one that's going to get a substantial corner of the market without slanting it.
Yeah.
You have to be fully slanted. And I just don't – I also, a lot of the stuff isn't like – a lot of the stuff is let's say Donald Trump says this is going to happen. We're going to do this really well. This is going to be, and then someone will post like a post from a year ago that he said, and then I'll retweet it. Someone will say, well, that's not a cold take at all. It is doing well. And they cite numerous statistics.
And
then the other person will reply back and say, no, well, and they'll cherry pick their own statistics.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, that makes
it's
sense.
It's a never ending battle. It's like arguing college football schedule strength.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's a good point. It gets this level of like ambiguity where people don't want to agree and it's like a gray area. But with sports, it's a lot different. Although even in sports now, I was telling you before we started recording that we call my co-host Joe Prano deemed people who don't agree with facts flat earthers. Because like there's people out there who are going to say things like Kobe is clutch, killer instinct. And then you hit them with like, dude, these are his numbers in fourth quarter in the playoffs with the game on the line are factually abysmal. So when you say
that's not facts. See, that's not facts. That's your statistics that you chose. This is the problem with arguing like this whole facts thing with people, because you cannot actually say that something is an actual fact. So that's going to be argued. You're going to say these facts that I chose about Kobe Bryant, and then a person's going to go, well, what about these facts?
Yeah.
And they're going to post like six games of the, in certain situations. So those are the facts. People like to talk about the facts, but it's the facts that you choose to present in a certain period of time that you have to argue. That's what you have to argue. Unless you're talking about sky is blue, and you can't do that with statistics because you're choosing the type of statistics. So say, oh, this person has a bad batting average in baseball. He stinks. Well, his WAR is significantly higher than Billy Joe Smith was a .350 batting average.
Yeah.
So like, it's like, it never ends. That's the point with with facts. So people say, oh, I'm arguing. That's what people do in politics too.
Yeah.
It's way worse. Way worse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, last month their hiring was so high, but if you take it as a whole, it's not even as good as the last administration starting at this point.
Yeah. I think you're right. You convinced me, Fred. Now after just this little pep talk, I think you going near politics
worst.
It's a good idea to stay clearly as far away from that as possible.
I would have to be someone who's into it.
Yeah.
And I'd have to be someone presenting it on one side. It'd have to be like a guy who is going to be defending Trump or anti-Trump.
Yeah.
And I have to have that slant.
What a by the way, what a miserable life. I look at these people on Twitter and I see them.
They're so sensitive.
And I just think, and I agree with you, whether it's either side, because, you know, I've made it very well known on this show that I'm legit, like, independent, and I think they're both idiots. But I look at these people on social media and I think, like, are you sleeping well at night? Like, if your whole day is consumed by either dissing or promoting one political side or the other, or like you're saying, for or against Trump, I just think, God, you hate your life. Like, there can't be enjoyment in that. Like, and my thing to kind of bring it back to admitting when we're wrong is what I don't get about when you take somebody who's wrong and you expose them on your feed, on Freezing Cold Takes, when you expose them, these people, if they own up to it, will be so much more liked. If the Todd McShays just quote tweet your tweet or respond, you're going to be more liked, people. Just admit when you're wrong.
Oh, yeah. They get so much. They get universal praise for admitting that they're wrong. What you got to do is just retweet it or post it yourself. And then kind of mute the conversations and then move on.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad anymore now that there's the mute conversation function. I used to feel a little bad tagging somebody because they get notified constantly.
Yeah.
Now that there's the mute conversation, you don't even have to hear about
it. Well, I'm glad that you're bringing that up because I think a lot of people are Twitter illiterate. So, for everybody listening,
just mute the conversation.
You can mute the conversation. You can mute words on Twitter. Like, there's a lot of screening you can do so you don't have to see certain things. And but you're right. I think people don't know. But I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be a question I was going to ask. So you don't feel bad at this point putting anybody on blast for a freezing cold take?
No. I think journalists and TV personalities hate more than anything getting tagged their opinions, like anything interesting that they say.
Yeah.
They'll get tagged 50 times to me. Hold on to this. And that's what they hate the most. They hate it so much. And really nothing I could do about it. Sometimes it's not even something I would ever use, even if it was wrong.
Yeah.
But they'll some get really annoyed.
What's your process for now? The NBA draft was just last week. When there's a day like that where we're going to have a lot of takes from a lot of different analysts and networks, do you have something to keep track and catalog?
No, gotcha. I don't even do it. It's a kind of a myth. It's too much work.
Yeah,
it's significant. I'd have to put them in. I sometimes put them in like a file. A Gmail draft email or my notes. I like a Gmail draft email in case my phone dies.
Sure.
Or just gets broken and I don't have my notes anymore. But I like the Gmail draft email. Sometimes I'll put it for some that are really ridiculous, but they usually all come back. They'll bounce right back to me. Like someone will send it to me. Every fans remember when someone says something about their team.
Yeah.
Always. So they'll specifically remember that, Jalen Rose said this guy was going to be a bad player. If it's like he's talking about a Nuggets player 3 years down the road. I remember Jalen Rose said this. I'm going to go get it and send it to Freezing Cold.
Yeah.
So many people.
I'm on a great streak of my own. I have my Andy. We call it the Ruther curse. Everybody should thank me because I basically ended the Warriors dynasty by saying that it didn't matter. They were going to win in six. And
was that a reverse jinx attempt?
No, it's not. See, that's a good point. See, some of our fans who we call dirtballs, the dirtballs have now started to offer me, because my Ruther curse has been so bad, they've started to offer compensation. So, like, yo, let me pen pal you, let me Venmo you. And I tell them, I say, guys, that's not how it works. Like, when I say things like Boston Bruins in six, Golden State Warriors in six, the Los Angeles Chargers are going to the Super Bowl. When I say these things, I genuinely mean them. So you can't just throw me money. As much as you want to, you know, throw me a few bucks to say, hey, pick against my team, it has to be an actual, you know, opinion and take that I have, which a new one, and I'll just say it here on the air. The Patriots are not going to the Super Bowl this year. They're not. I mean, it's not that big of a take, but I'm saying the New England Patriots, you hear it here first. You can mark it down, Fred, for an old take, possibly exposed. They're not going to the Super Bowl. It's not going to be their year.
Well, we'll see.
Well, look, man, I really appreciate your time, and what you're doing is amazing. Guys, you got to follow Old Takes Exposed. And what are some of the other amazing feeds that you have that you want to promote? Twitter, Instagram. What are some of the other accounts that you have that are great and maybe in the line with this?
Well, I have Freezing Cold Takes on Instagram. It's not Old Takes Exposed. It's Freezing Cold Takes. I have it on Facebook. But my favorite account is This Day in Sports Clips. Dirtbags got to follow This
Dirt
Day
balls,
in Sports
Clips. Dirtballs, but yeah.
The Dirtballs. Who are the Dirtbags? Long Beach State? Baseball?
Yeah, you're right. I think it is. That's a great reference, by the way.
Yeah. So the
Dirtballs need
to follow This Day in Sports Clips. Well, they got to follow Freezing Cold Takes on Instagram. And This Day in Sports Clips, every day I'll post three or four clips from like that day. And it could be anything. So like June 26th, 2001, this happened that I post a clip. June 26th, 1996, Kobe Bryant was drafted. I have a clip of that. So it's random stuff throughout sports. It's great, great sports history. It takes me a long time to do it.
Yeah, we were texting about that.
It's blowing up.
It's a great account. This Day in Sports Clips on Instagram.
Yeah, it's blowing up on Instagram because people love it. Every time I post something, someone really appreciates the feed. They tell me how much they appreciate the feed. So that's what keeps me going with that. It's such a good feed. I hate to brag. It's really the first time I've ever bragged about anything. It's the only thing I really have to brag about besides my wife and kids is This Day in Sports Clips.
Brag away, yeah, Fred. Yeah. No, it's great. It's
basic too. I don't do anything. I don't make any narratives. I don't put it. It's just posting the clip and an explanation of the clip. There's no funny stuff. There's no. I don't make it like you're trying to get the raw footage of the clip.
Yeah.
I don't try to make it all nice like ESPN does or whatever. Just post the clip.
Yeah. And exactly. It's very straightforward. You're like you said, you're not trying to go with an angle of like This Day in Sports Clips, you know, OJ, there's like a picture of OJ driving down the 405 freeway. You're not doing that stuff. It's legit sports.
Right. Well, I did do what the OJ the OJ freeway going down the freeway, like interspliced with the game, the broadcast that was going on.
Rockets
the basketball Knicks. Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rockets Knicks. So it was like kind of interesting, but I kept it a minute long. Like I usually try to keep it a minute long, and just it's my favorite thing to do because I love looking back at the sports clips. So, and it eventually is going to have more. If it doesn't get shut down, it will have more than Freezing Cold Takes.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm not going to comment on that because I just ruined all of Barry McCockener's feed. So with the
tell me, is This Day in Sports going to get shut down ever?
It probably will.
Yeah, it will, right?
Yeah, it will.
It definitely will. When? Soon, right?
Well, it's funny because I asked you, I DM'd you about that. I said, are you worried?
Yeah, I'm nervous about it. I try not to be nervous about it. But, I mean, it would be very selective enforcement. They have a lot of feeds to shut down.
Yeah, well I said, and I said, look, dude, you're a former lawyer. Obviously, you're a man of the law. I said, with the copyright issues, are you worried about This Day in Sports Clips? So therefore, I do think it'll be shut down at some point. I hate to say it because it's a great feed.
Well, I mean, it's just there's like that's feed timeless sports.
Yeah,
they have like $350,000. They've never been shut down.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
They could shut it down, and I wouldn't do anything. But I mean, it's not really all that harmful to keep up the clips. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Like, why would you want to have those clips up? Major League Baseball, it just promotes baseball.
Yeah, it's free marketing. I think they're more concerned. I think at this point, I know at least I've been getting knocked on Twitter. They're more concerned about music.
Right.
Like, I've had a few videos removed that were like professionally edited.
Because those are easily, you could sell those better. You could sell music better.
Exactly.
Like, who's going to sell an old clip of MLB? It just seems like it's very, yeah. Seems like it's counterproductive to take away an old clip of Lloyd McClendon picking up first base after he got rejected. That's one of today's The Day in Sports clips.
Amazing. Fred, it's been a pleasure. Is there anything else you want to promote or
no, we're
push?
Good. We're good.
Guys, Fred Siegel, he's got all these accounts. You know, he's the king of exposing old takes at Freezing Cold Takes on Twitter. Oh, I'm sorry, Instagram, right?
That's right. Freezing Cold Takes on Instagram, Old Takes Exposed on Twitter.
Well, Fred, thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon, definitely, when more of my awful takes are exposed.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Thanks to Fred for giving such a great interview, and thanks for reminding me how bad the Miami Dolphins have been. That's something I really forgot. Guys, Joe Prano will be back on the show on Monday, so we look forward to having our boy back, my co-host back from New York. And don't forget, use those SeatGeek promo codes. That's right, guys. If you're heading to any sports event this weekend, use SeatGeek, the only ticket app that we use on the Dirty Sports Podcast, the official ticket app of the Dirty Sports Podcast. Any event you want to go to, get your tickets on SeatGeek. You can see exactly where you're going to sit on SeatGeek. They're so good, they have over 50,000 five-star reviews in the App Store. The whole point of SeatGeek is to make your experience that much better. So if you want to go to a baseball game, if you want to sit right in front of a net near the dugout and stare at a net, well, guess what? SeatGeek has you guys covered. Because best of all listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek supports our show, so we hope you support them as well. Use our promo code DIRTY for $10 off on your first purchase. You can use that at concert. You can use that for concert tickets, sports, comedy, whatever you want. Remember, that's promo code DIRTY for $10 off on your very first purchase. And another quick reminder before we wrap this bad boy up. I'm sending out koozies to anybody who leaves an iTunes review. Just leave your Twitter or Instagram handle in that review and I will reach out to you and I'll get your koozies out. I'm sending out 90 packages this week. 90 packages. Everybody gets two koozies who leaves an iTunes review. Just leave that Twitter or Instagram handle. And you guys can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Dirty Sports. You can follow me at Andy Ruther. It's R-U-T-H-E-R. And you can follow my co-host, Joe Prano, at Joe Prano on Instagram and at Fix Your Life on Twitter. And subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Oh, and one last thing. Joe wanted to give a shout-out. This is for Joe Prano. Shout-out to Alex Bressler and Zach Berman for coming to see him last night in Gotham supporting his stand-up comedy. So shout-out to those guys as well. And go see him this weekend. Bridgeport, Connecticut, Thursday, he's headlining, and Friday, Saturday, he is featuring for Gilbert Gottfried, so go support my co-host. Okay, guys, that is the show. Thanks for sticking around. Thank you for the support. Have a great weekend, and most importantly, stay dirty.